When I speak with people about the coming debt crisis, I get a lot of blank stares. Explaining the border, that's easy. We can show pictures of people streaming across and mention human trafficking, terrorism. It's obvious there's a problem. But our national debt is so huge that people don't really grasp how dire the situation actually is. Our federal government is approaching $35 trillion in debt. But what does that mean? To put it in context, let's stop and think about $1 trillion, not 35. $1 trillion is 1 million times 1 million. Trillion dollars is roughly the entire credit card debt of every American combined. Our federal debt is roughly 35 times larger than that. And the worst part, it's growing like a monster. In the first 221 years of our nation, we accumulated $10 trillion of borrowed debt. In the last 15 years, we've added almost $25 trillion. And the pace is accelerating. When I wrote my latest book, Pirate Money, last June, I looked at the U.S. debt clock and we owed $32 trillion. But in less than 9 months since then, we've increased our debt by an extra $2 trillion. This monster is growing and will soon consume everything. It's like the blob from a bad 1950s sci-fi film. Only this blob is real and very dangerous. Join me in the Economic War Room where I will share 5 undeniable truths about our economy and our plan to rescue you from the blob. There's 2 Proverbs, 22:3 and 27:12, and they say the same thing. They say, a prudent man sees danger ahead and prepares for it, but a fool goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. I can tell you, there is danger ahead. I'm going to cover 3 points today. 1, our money is failing. It's just a matter of time, and I'll have 5 undeniable truths to explain it. 2nd point is, there is a constitutional alternative. And the 3rd point, the time to act is now. The 5 undeniable truths. 1, our debt path is unsustainable. Let me explain that. Our money's failing. And our debt path is unsustainable, and it is just a matter of time before we default unless we change course. Don't take my word for it. All the experts inside and outside government know this. In fact, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, he noted during a 60 Minutes interview that in the long term, the government is on an unsustainable fiscal path, which he explained means the debt is growing faster than the economy. Bottom line it for you is, he just said, we're screwed unless we change course. That's just a fact. But it's not just Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve. The Congressional Budget Office also has a report. They say that our debt will pass $54 trillion over the next 10 years. And they projected in terms of comparison to our economy that where it was just a few years ago, our debt was a fraction of our economy and annual output. It's going to be 2 times the entire economy of America in just 10 years. This is a crazy thing that we're looking at. They projected by the year 2050 that we would have $100 trillion in additional debt on top of that that we already have. Now, how do they get there? They look at Social Security and Medicare, and they look at the rest of the federal budget. Yes, the Congressional Budget Office predicts that we will be completely bankrupt. They don't say it in those terms, but that's what they're saying. If you owe $135 trillion in the year 2050, and it's a multiple more than 2 times your economy, I'm sorry, you're in trouble. And that's what CBO says. And it's not just them. The Treasury Department in the Biden administration, I mentioned the Federal Reserve, Congress, private economists, they all say the same thing. This is math. It's not politics. But virtually no one is discussing it. This is scary stuff. Let me explain from Epoch Times. They wrote, how to explain the Fed's massive losses. Did you know the Federal Reserve last year lost $114 billion? Now, how do you do that when you're printing money? Well, it's the debt problem. It's the same thing like Silicon Valley Bank. They owe a bunch of debt and interest rates go up. That puts them in a hole because the value of those bonds that they're holding have gone down in price. Here's Daily Torch, February 7th. 2024. The present level of revenues is $4.65 trillion, according to data from the White House Office of Management and Budget. In the meantime, mandatory spending, The mandatory spending that the government has to spend, including net interest owed on the national debt, has reached the current level of $4.64 trillion. Let me put that into plain language. This is the headline. You could eliminate every federal department, agency, and fire every federal employee, including the military, and still not be able to balance the budget. That has created an emergency situation. It's something that no one's talking about, but it's going to impact us almost immediately if we don't prepare for it. Now, that's scary, but it's just part of the problem. I hope you agree. The fact is our debt path is unsustainable, and that is the first undeniable truth. But the second undeniable truth is that other nations are targeting our currency. They smell blood. Here, Elon Musk said, if you weaponize your currency enough times, other countries will stop using it. And that's happening. We've been using sanctions and currency restrictions, and other nations, like the BRICS nations, have decided to pull away. In 2008, Vladimir Putin said, I want to end the dollar's reserve currency. In 2013, China's Xi Jinping came to power and said, I want to end the use of the American dollar around the world. In 2023, BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, including Saudi Arabia, came together and said they want to end the dollar as reserve currency of the world. They call this the exorbitant privilege because American dollars are used for almost all trade everywhere. People told me when I first said this in the Pentagon, I said, this is going to happen. They're going to try and end the dollar. They said, oh, no, no, China wouldn't do that. They own 10% of our outstanding debt. And they did in 2008. Now they hold about 2%. Here's a picture of Igor Panarin in the Wall Street Journal. He says the foreign goal is to displace the dollar. He said this in the year 2008. I'll read to you. Mr. Panarin posits, in brief, that mass immigration, economic decline, and moral degradation will trigger a civil war and the collapse of the dollar. His theory called U.S. foreign debt a pyramid scheme and predicted China and Russia would usurp Washington's role as a global financial regulator. That's what they're intending. Don't take my word for it. Look at Yahoo. China continues to de-dollarize reserves as gold stockpile climbs for the eighth straight month. Or look at Foreign Policy magazine. China is quietly trying to dethrone the dollar. These are facts, and the BRICS nations have joined them. A BRICS currency could shake the dollar's dominance, or the dollar's dominance is shakier than ever. Both come from foreignpolicy.com. This is an official stated goal of the BRICS nations. I need to take a break. When I come back, we'll talk more about the BRICS' intention to destroy the dollar. We've been discussing five undeniable truths of our economic situation. We got to truth number two, which is that other nations want to destroy the dollar. They want to remove it as the reserve currency. I want to quote here from Foreign Policy magazine. It says, this is 2023. Joe Sullivan explained that BRICS don't need to wait until a new currency is launched to challenge the U.S. dollar. According to the analyst, if BRICS create a rule to settle payments in local currencies among member nations, the U.S. dollar's dominance will automatically come down and affect the American economy at large. Now, how many nations are we talking about in BRICS? According to CNN, nearly three dozen countries are seeking entry into the China and Russia-backed BRICS economic group. South Africa is part of it. So is Saudi Arabia. This is a growing movement, anti-American movement, that's developed. So we have two proven undeniable truths. One, the death path that we're on is unsustainable. And two, other countries want to break the dollar's reserve currency. I hope you see that. I hope that makes sense to you because I've laid out all the facts here. Now let's talk about the third truth. The third truth is inflation and the Cantillon effect create a wealth gap that hurts the poor and will eventually lead to destabilization of our country. What we've got here is real people who are going to get hurt. If we lose the reserve currency status, which happens because of our massive debt, point number one, undeniable truth, and undeniable truth number two is other nations are trying to tear down our currency, and we lose the reserve currency, we're going to see major inflationary pressures. You think, well, how would that impact us? Look at the goods and services you buy. Are any of them imported? Any of them come from China? Well, guess what? They will suddenly become drastically more expensive if the dollar comes under pressure. And here at home, we'll have problems too, because interest rates will go up from those inflationary pressures. We saw interest rates rise because inflation rose just a couple of years ago. Now my question is, if we're producing $35 trillion of debt now, on our way to $135 trillion by the year 2050, who's going to buy all that debt? Who will buy it? We have one failed bond auction where, you know, the government goes out and says, Wall Street, hey, sell our debt, see who wants to buy it. One time they come back and say, I'm sorry, Washington, but nobody's interested. That's at the point that we have absolute disaster. And when I say absolute disaster, I mean the currency doesn't just lose 90% of its purchasing power, as it's done in my lifetime, at least since I was 10 years old. 1971, Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard. You know, in 1971, I could buy a Hershey bar for a dime, a Spider-Man comic for 15 cents, a large Slurpee for 15 cents, a McDonald's cheeseburger, fries, and chocolate shake for a dollar. It cost me $1.40. I could earn $1.60 an hour cutting my dad's lawn. I'd put two dimes in the collection plate and spend $1.40. You know what that basket of a teenage dream? 20 bucks. 20 bucks to buy the Hershey bar and the McDonald's meal and the comic and all that. $20. That's how much inflation has hurt us. But what happens if we go into a hyperinflation? Then it gets really bad. Since 1971, with this smaller than normal inflation rate, while we financialized our economy, we've created this massive wealth gap. The rich have gotten richer, the middle income has gone down, and the lower income has gone down. This is financial instability. That's what comes when you have that kind of wealth gap. And what else happens is if you lose the reserve currency status and you're that much in debt, you start to print $100 trillion bills like Zimbabwe did, or Germany did this with 1 million mark, where you had to have wheelbarrows full of money to buy a single loaf of bread. Or kids played with blocks of money rather than Legos, because the blocks of money were cheaper than the Legos. In Argentina, the inflation rate hit 124%. In Venezuela, the inflation rate was 1,300,000% in the year 2018. That's what happens when your currency fails, and real people will get hurt. Now, I mentioned the Cantillon effect. Cantillon effect was named after an economist who said, he who was close to the king and the wealthy likely benefited from the distributional choices of currency through the system. I'll put it to you another way. That means if you're close to Washington, D.C. or New York, where they're producing all the money, then it's easy to get money and it's easy to protect yourself against inflation. But if you're sitting as a farmer in Iowa, it's not so easy. It's hard to get money. And if you have a collapse of the currency and they replace it with something else, you're going to be among the last taken care of. Poor people, they have a real struggle with inflation. That's who it hurts the most. And this income inequality can lead to economic instability. That's from the International Monetary Fund. Inflation, by the way, people say inflation's the problem. No, inflation is not the problem. In fact, inflation is a necessary evil. Just imagine if we didn't have inflation, but the money printers printed $35 trillion or $135 trillion, and it was all held in Washington, D.C., they would essentially buy everything we own if they stopped inflation, like with wage and price controls. So they'd have all the money and we'd have nothing. Isn't that a World Economic Forum plan? You'll own nothing and be happy? Bottom line is that if they keep printing money like this and prices don't go up, then they'll have all this money. They'll buy everything and own everything. Inflation's a necessary evil. I don't think anybody's talking about that, but it really is true. I would rather have zero inflation with a stable money supply. But if they're going to be printing that much money, we have to have inflation so that the house that I already own will go up and someone won't buy it out from under me. Now, it's devastating to poor people. We need to solve the real problem. It's not inflation. It's the excess money printing. Truth number four. Unfortunately, governments see what's happening and they intend to weaponize the currency against us. They call it central bank digital currency, CBDC. So how do you solve for a failing currency and also keep the masses in check? You use your money as a control mechanism. China has an example. They're using social credit scores to control people. And in fact, if you went to get your money out of a failing bank, they'd turn on your iPhone, they'd turn your healthcare app red. Oh no, you need to be quarantined, and force you to go home. They're literally controlling people with social credit scores. They've created something called the digital yuan. You've heard about this. It is a direct threat to the dollar, but it's a threat to liberty in China as well. And central bank digital currency, we call it Biden bucks here, Executive Order 14067, where literally President Biden, 37 pages long, dated March 9th, 2022, decided that all our money should be a control mechanism so that they can implement DEI and ESG and fight climate change and all of that. And then the IMF has the same thing. They released a paper on September 7th of last year, and they talk about coordinating all of our money through central bank digital currency to control us. If you've driven too many miles, you can't buy gasoline. If you're too heavy, you can't buy a cheeseburger. This is a control mechanism designed to control us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll dive into solutions. We've been talking five undeniable truths about money, the economy, and so forth. The fourth one is governments intend to weaponize money against the people. Now, we're talking central bank digital currency. We're talking the IMF is involved in this. President Biden wrote an executive order. They have intention for you to have no privacy. Everything you buy, sell, do, be monitored. The government would have a line item veto on all your spending. And all this will be legal because you'll agree to the terms. There'll be a financial crisis, and this will be shown as the only path out. This is the domestic economic war, aka the Great Reset. And we know that they've been debanking people like Tucker Carlson, Nigel Farage, and our friend Nick Vujicic. And they say, basically, if you support the wrong politician, we'll take your bank account away. This isn't conjecture. It's an undeniable truth. And we'll put in the battle plan the exact quote and the link where you can see that the Canadian finance minister actually said that. So can we all agree that governments intend to weaponize currency and our access to it? They tell us what they're going to do, and we see them doing it even now in crude ways. So what happens when they get CBDC? Of course they'll take control. Undeniable truth number five, money is changing in major ways. That's true whether you use PayPal and Venmo. Those didn't exist 30 years ago. Or tap to pay on your iPhone, or Bitcoin, or a cashless society where you go in, we don't take cash here. Or the reverse ATMs where you put cash in and they give you a debit card out. Here's a quote, the cashless future is here, so is Big Brother. All those things are happening right now, and the speed of change is accelerating. It's very easy to slip in an all-digital currency. But I have a question. If money's changing, shouldn't the changes be optional and beneficial? I think they should. So our five undeniable truths are absolute. Our debt path is unsustainable. Other nations are targeting our currency. Inflation and the Cantillon effect are hurting the poor and creating a wealth gap and destabilization. Governments intend to weaponize our currency, and money is changing in major ways. So what do we do about it? That's just point number one. Our money's failing, and it will be replaced. It's a matter of time. So what do? We have one constitutional alternative, and the time to act is now. So if you weren't depressed by the five undeniable truths that prove our money is failing, you're not paying attention. The good news is we have an answer, and states can do something about it. I've written about this in the book Pirate Money. You've probably heard us talk about it. States can create constitutional currency under Article 1, Section 10 that would be transactional gold and silver. And this is gold doubloon, and this is a silver piece of eight. Can you imagine instead using a debit card or tap to pay and using gold and silver? That's happening. It's happening right now on a commercial basis. The courts have approved the elements that are necessary. I cover all this in the book Pirate Money. We're not talking about eliminating the U.S. dollar, just offering a valid choice. And you know what? 25 states are considering it right now. I've met with legislators in Florida and Tennessee and Oklahoma and Texas and Utah and Georgia and Kansas and Iowa and Alaska. 25 states are looking at doing what we call pirate money. It's incredible. So what is money? It's a unit of account. It's a medium of exchange. It's a store of value. According to the Bible, it's gold and silver. According to the founders in the Constitution, it's gold and silver. Guess what? We have a way to make that transactional and useful. If we make it transactional and useful, according to what I wrote here and according to what I've written in other papers, it might mean you could own gold and silver without fear of capital gains taxation because you are owning money and not a commodity or an asset. So the founders, they hated paper money. George Washington said, "Paper money has had the effect in your state that it will ever have. Ruin commerce, oppress the honest, and open the door to every species of fraud and injustice." Jefferson was a little more direct. He said, "Paper is poverty. It's only the ghost of money and not money itself." Paper money, the 1 million mark. Paper money, the Zimbabwe currency. We have an alternative here in America. We call it constitutional money. It's based on the dollar, which was a Spanish mill dollar. It's gold and silver coin, Article 1, Section 10, which says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. The founders were very specific. They wanted gold and silver. And we have court rulings like the Briscoe versus Bank of Kentucky in 1837, which is again explained in this book, which basically lays out that a state bank or depository can take money on deposit, real money, gold and silver, and produce a certificate like this Bank of Kentucky note, and that can function as currency in a system. Now, 100 years ago, you could buy a great man's suit, shoes, shirt, and tie for 1 ounce of gold. You can still do it today. Gold holds its value. 100 years ago, you could buy 5 gallons of gasoline for 10 dimes. That's still true today if you had the silver content of any dime produced before 1964. This is economic safety. This is economic justice. This is the answer to the five undeniable truths. We have to make gold and silver transactional. Does it work? Yeah, absolutely it works. You can use a state depository and you can use modern technology. We covered this in episodes 277 and 280, where we featured Jason Cousins of Glint. What I want to do is I want to share with you a little video that I produced to test it myself. I took my gold coin and I tried to buy some food with it. People say, well, you can't, what good is gold? You can't eat it. Well, you can buy food with it. Let's take a look.
We just landed in Florida. It's so exciting. We're at my favorite grocery store, and I brought my gold escudo. This is a gold doubloon. It's got over $100 worth of gold. I'm gonna go see if I can buy some oranges with this. Let's see if it'll take my gold to pay for these delicious Florida oranges. There we go. And where do I put the coin? Oh, I'll just use my Glint card and pay that way. There we are. On February 2nd, 3 p.m., I paid $5.99 with 0.0914 grams of gold. Success! Florida oranges, bought with gold, paid by Glint.
So what I want, I've been with the CEO of Glint, we've gone state by state by state and said, hey, adopt this technology in your state. You don't have to use Glint, you use somebody else, but make it legal tender, gold and silver, according to the Constitution, and then make it functional money with transaction capability like that. And guess what? That will give state residents an option to stand up against those five undeniable truths. It'll preserve your purchasing power. It'll give people a sound choice. And we need money to stay in America. We don't need all of this craziness that's gonna happen once our dollar fails. We need to have a choice, and that's what Glint does. 25 states are looking at this, showing interest. That's combined the third largest economy on planet Earth. We had a summit here at Liberty Hawk Ranch for legislators, and they went out and they started making it happen. They took copies of the book. Get people to read this book. We need your help as the small ships. Here are your action steps. 1, pray. 2, get a pirate money book copy. 3, support legislation in your state to make this possible. And 4, check out transactionalgold.com for updates. Now we're gonna summarize all of this in our free economic battle plan. You can find it at economicwarroom.com. Remember, what we see as a marketplace, our enemies view as a battle space. This is Kevin Freeman from the Economic War Room.